The Audiobook Wizard presents Illustrated Audiobooks, wonderful children's illustrated books brought to audio life by including rich audio description of the pictures for children who are blind, low vision, and all children. This time, Cleo and the Climate. 7-year-old Cleo loves science. So does her younger brother, Miles. It's a good thing Mom and Grandma are scientists. In Cleo and the Climate, Cleo and Miles learn to be curious, creative, and careful.
On the cover, in a dry, sandy desert, a rock formation makes an arch one can walk through. In front of the arch, a young, black girl, Cleo, wears a white lab coat over her yellow shirt. Her dark brown hair is arranged in dreadlocks, puffs of hair sectioned with gold and green bead binders. Her big brown eyes are shining, and she wears a big smile as she holds up a magnifying glass. In yellow and orange letters, the title reads, Cleo and the Climate.
Hi, my name is Cleo, and I'm a scientist. Science is how we understand the world around us.
Cleo, in her lab coat, smiles and waves.
To be a scientist, you have to be curious. That means you ask a lot of questions.
The three panels on the page, Cleo and her little brother, Miles, ponder questions. He eats an apple as Cleo scratches her head.
What makes seeds grow?
In the second panel, Cleo and Miles sit in a wading pool and play with a plastic boat.
Why do boats float? Where does ice go when it melts?
At the table, Miles drinks ice water from a straw while Cleo leans forward and studies the water spread out on the table underneath her glass.
To be a scientist, you have to be creative. That means you have a lot of ideas to try out. Trying out an idea is called conducting an experiment.
Cleo holds a shovel in one hand and her magnifying glass in the other. In the three panels on the page, Cleo talks to her brother in the pool and at the table.
Let's plant these apple seeds. Let's find out what else floats. Let's melt more ice and watch what happens. To be a scientist, you have to be careful. When you're trying out your ideas, pay very close attention to what happens.
Cleo has a bit of dirt on her face, and her hair is mussed as she holds a wet, yellow toy horse with a blue mane and tail. In three panels on the page, Cleo and Miles measure the height of a little, green-growing plant. They sink and float items in the pool while Cleo marks on a list. Floats, boat, duck, cup. Sinks, doll, pony. And for the ice and water, solid turns to liquid.
My grandma is a scientist too. She knows a lot about plants. She grows her plants in a special house made completely out of windows. It's called a greenhouse.
Grandma, a slender woman with long gray hair, smiles as she chats with Cleo in the greenhouse.
Why is it called a greenhouse when it's not green? What do you think? Did it used to be green? Nope. Does it help the plants grow up nice and green? That's right. Some grown-ups get grumpy if you ask too many questions. Luckily, Grandma understands that a scientist is always curious. She just smiles and asks me what I think. Why is it so warm in here when it's cold outside? What do you think? Do you have the heater turned up really high? The sun is the only heater this greenhouse uses. The sun? But the sun is outside. That's right. The light and heat from the sun come in through the glass. The glass traps the heat from the sun's rays inside the greenhouse. That's called the greenhouse effect. The thing about science is the more you learn, the more questions you have.
Cleo looks up at questions swirling around her head.
Are there other ways to trap heat?
Does the heat escape? How hot does it get? Do all the rays get trapped? Does it have to be glass? Could you heat up the whole world like a greenhouse? What else can the greenhouse effect do? Could you use the greenhouse effect to cook food? Is that why the car gets so hot in the summer? Sometimes you can figure things out with experiments. Sometimes it helps to read books. I learned that there are lots of ways to trap heat. My coat traps heat from my body. Any type of clear container can trap heat from the sun. Did you know even gases can trap heat? You can't usually see or feel gases like you can solids and liquids, but they are all around us.
Cleo lies on her stomach on the floor and reads a book with diagrams in it. Other books are stacked nearby.
There are gases around the Earth that keep our planet warm, just like my coat keeps me warm when it's cold. These are called greenhouse gases, and most of them are natural and important.
A drawing of a red carbon molecule and two blue oxygen molecules shows the chemical makeup of water.
I'm water, and I'm the most common greenhouse gas. Wow, I didn't even know water could be a gas. When I'm warm, I turn into a gas and float away.
I'm carbon dioxide. I'm much better than water at trapping heat. Plants need me to grow, but now that a lot of forests have been cut down, there aren't enough plants around to use me up. Every time you breathe out, you're breathing out a tiny bit of me. But I'm also created by cars and trucks and planes and factories and power plants. Humans make lots of me all the time.
The carbon dioxide drawing shows a black carbon molecule and two attached red oxygen molecules posed near an airplane, a car, and a power plant stack, sending smoke into the air.
Humans have been making more and more of gases like carbon dioxide. Making more greenhouse gases is like putting more coats on the Earth. The Earth is getting warmer.
A cartoon Earth on the left with green continents and blue water is bundled up in a red coat and hat. On the right, another cartoon Earth with brown and red areas without water is sweating while wearing layers of coats and a hat.
This is called global warming or climate change. When I told my little brother Miles about this, he was confused. But look, it's snowing. How could it be snowing if the Earth is too hot? It seems too cold to me. Yes, it is snowing and it is cold, but that's the weather, right?
Yes.
What other types of weather do you know?
Sunny, rainy, windy?
Yep, the weather is what it's like outside today. Global warming doesn't have to mean changing the weather. It's changing the climate.
Miles and Cleo walk across a snowy hill wearing their winter coats, caps, and boots. Miles pulls a red saucer-shaped sled behind him.
What's climate?
Climate is weather over time, a long time, like 30 years or 100.
What? It would never snow for 100 years.
No. That's not what climate is. People measure the weather over a long time. They keep track of how hot or cold it is, how often it snows or rains, stuff like that.
Who measures the weather?
That was a good question. To find the answer, our dad took us to the Science Museum. There we learned about the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, or NASA for short. At NASA, scientists send satellites into space to fly around the Earth. A satellite is kind of like a robot astronaut.
A big metal square station floats in space. It has a wide solar panel on it. Another satellite is shaped differently than the first, but also has a solar panel.
Hi, I'm Terra the satellite. NASA launched me in 1999. I was only supposed to be up here for 6 years, but I'm having too much fun to quit. My job is to take pictures and measurements of the world and its atmosphere. The atmosphere is the layer of gases that surrounds the Earth like a blanket. But greenhouse gases are invisible, aren't they? Not to me. My special cameras can see lights that humans can't.
I'm Aqua. I collect information about the water cycle.
I'm Aura. I'm learning about the air.
The third satellite is smaller than the other two.
Satellites take amazing pictures. They help us learn how Earth is changing.
Three pictures of Earth. One shows the land masses of the continents, white clouds and blue oceans. Another focuses on the area of Asia, where there is more brown than green. The third picture shows swirling red and yellow masses of air sweeping across the northern part of Earth. Miles and Cleo study a graph that shows different colored lines going up and down at regular intervals.
What do these lines mean, Cleo?
This is a graph. See this line? That shows the amount of carbon dioxide in the air. When the line goes up, that means more carbon dioxide. And when it goes down, that means less. It's showing different measurements of carbon dioxide taken at different times. Then this line shows the temperature in Antarctica.
It goes up and down, just like the carbon dioxide line.
That's right. When there's more carbon dioxide, Antarctica gets warmer. In the winter, we like to go up the canyon to play in the snow. Big Cottonwood Canyon is one of the snowiest places in the world. The snow is not just fun and beautiful, it's very important too. Since it doesn't rain very much in Utah, most of our water comes from snow. When the snow in the mountains melts, it turns into water and fills our lakes and reservoirs.
Adults watch Miles as he rolls a snowball.
Grandma says that the snow used to stay in the mountains all the way through spring and into summer when she was little, but it has been melting earlier and earlier. After the snow melts, the mountain streams dry up. That's not good for all the animals who live up there and can't build reservoirs to store water like people can.
Cleo builds a snowman. Grandma watches her with a smile. The children talk to their mother, a woman with an afro and a headband, wearing a red and white plaid shirt.
What will happen if the climate gets so hot that it doesn't snow at all? That would cause a drought. That means there wouldn't be enough water. Oh no! What would we do? That sounds like a problem a scientist should solve. A scientist like me. Our mom is also a scientist. She's an entomologist. That means she studies insects. When I asked her about climate change, she told us about bark beetles. She called them pests.
What's a pest?
A pest is something that hurts people or the plants that are important to us. Bark beetles are pests because they kill trees. They're very small, but they burrow into trees. A beetle can kill a tree? How big are these beetles?
Look at this piece of bark here. You can see all the little tracks where beetles have chewed their way inside. Now look at the mountain. Do you see any dead trees?
Yes, lots. But look, those trees up at the top are still green.
Maybe the beetles can't hike up that high.
I think they could if they wanted to, but the higher you climb, the colder it gets. Oh, the beetles don't like the cold.
That's right. When I was little, the winters used to be much longer and colder, so the bark beetles wouldn't live as long.
The family sits around a campfire.
Having a lot of dead trees is very dangerous. Do you know why?
Because they could fall?
No. Think about what I told you when we went building the campfire.
Dead trees make the best firewood.
That's right.
When there are lots of dead trees around, we get really bad wildfires.
Oh no! Maybe this is another problem for a scientist to solve. One weekend, our family went to Moab. Moab has a warmer and drier climate than where we live.
In a dry, sandy desert, a rock formation makes an arch one can walk through.
I asked a park ranger if he's noticed the climate changing in Moab. He said yes. Both the Green River and the Colorado River are shrinking. These rivers are habitats for lots of birds, or they used to be.
There used to be lots of herons, egrets, and bitterns. Now there are almost none.
What about plants? Are those changing too?
Yes, this is a juniper tree. It's a type of tree adapted to living in very dry places, but lots of junipers are now starting to die.
The juniper tree has a very crooked, winding trunk and large branches with many blue-green leaves filling them.
A lot of scary things are happening, not just here in Utah, but all over the world. We need to be curious and learn as much as we can so we can understand the problems. Creativity will help us come up with lots of ideas of how we can solve the problems. And of course, a scientist is always careful. By paying close attention, we can learn from our mistakes and improve our ideas. That's why science is so important.
This has been Cleo and the Climate, written by Shara Maservi, narrated by Jacqueline Protho, audio description narrated by Thomas Reed, and written by Bonnie Barlow from illustrations by Avery Franklin. This has been a production of Imagination Video Books at imaginationvideobooks.org.
Please join us again for our next illustrated audiobook with audio description of the pictures, brought to you by imaginationstorybooks.org. I'm Richard Riemann, the Audiobook Wizard.